Hey, we're going to get into some new stuff this week. We've been alluding to it for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to be in Proverbs 31 a bit and some other places, but I want to lay a foundation. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 1. You always want to lay the foundation in the beginning, so Proverbs chapter 1 is where we're going to start, and the verses will be on the screen behind me, but let me read this. This is where we have to start. Here we go. Proverbs right out of the gate. King Solomon says this, inspired by the Spirit. He says, regarding wisdom, which is what Proverbs is about, regarding wisdom, Solomon says, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight. He's telling us why the book of Proverbs exists. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So right out of the gate, Solomon is giving everyone who is hearing this an invitation to join him in the place of being a wise person. And the reason why this is so necessary and important is none of us are born into the world with wisdom. We're born into a broken and fractured world with broken and fractured hearts, and foolishness comes for us easily. But wisdom is something that has to be learned and obtained and sought after and wrought out. And then Solomon is inviting us to become wise. So the first place that Solomon says, hey, here's the first stop on the wisdom train, is that you and I have been invited by God to become not fools. We were and have been, and still from time to time, we will act foolishly. But the invitation is to become wise people. But the book of Proverbs doesn't stop there. That's not the end of the invitation, because wisdom wants to do more than just inhabit us. And just so you know, this morning, the book of Proverbs is about wisdom. And every time I say wisdom this morning, you could rightly supplant that word for God. Because God does not have wisdom. God is the sum total of all wisdom. So when wisdom speaks, God is also speaking. When wisdom moves in the world, that's also God moving, because God is the sum total of wisdom. But I'm going to just keep with what wisdom wants to do in the world, but just know that it also equally means what God wants to do in the world. So wisdom wants to incarnate in people and wants to make us wise. But then here's the next step on the journey of what wisdom wants in the world. Skip ahead a few verses to verse 20 in Proverbs chapter 1. Here's the next thing wisdom wants to do and wisdom does. Verse 20, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she, Lady Wisdom, raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So wisdom is desiring to call out for all of those who have ears to hear. And the book of Proverbs itself is 31 chapters worth of wisdom that is ringing out into the world, that is being read, it's being taught. It just wants to just shout out to the world, here I am, listen to me. Wisdom wants to incarnate in a person, and wisdom wants a person to be wise, and then wisdom wants that wise person to speak the words of wisdom that this person has garnered and received, that wants to be spoken. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, the verses on the screen behind me. Here's the instructions that Moses gives the people of Israel. He's talking about the commandments of the Lord. And every command that God gives is wise to its very core. It is good. And here's what Moses says, instructions for Israel regarding the good and wise commands of God. He says, and these words of the law, the wisdom of God that is given to Israel and to the world, these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart, meaning be them. Step one in the journey. Then he says this, verse 7, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. Let the words come out of your mouth regarding the wisdom in the instructions that you've received. Let it come out to your children. And you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and talk about them when you lie down, and talk about these instructions when you rise in the morning. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So the idea here is that the wisdom that we have received, that wisdom doesn't just want to stay inside of us. It wants to come out in instruction, in words that we would give to the people around us. So the idea here is, in a world that is riddled with foolishness, wisdom wants to speak to it and to begin making that which is off on, making that which is foolish wise, because that's what wisdom longs to do. As Christians, one of the things, and I think we understand this, one of the things that God has for us to do in this foolish, broken world is he wants us to contend for ideas. Meaning the world has all manner of ideas that are just off in so many ways. There might be parts of the ideas that the world comes up with that are right and good, but there's always off things intermixed in there, and it throws things off balance. And part of our call as Christians is to go out into the world and contend with the world's ideas with our words, right? Because that's what wisdom wants to do. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul does this. He models this for us. He's in Athens, and as he's in Athens, he goes directly to this place called the Areopagus. And the Areopagus was the place where, anybody know what TED Talks are? TED Talks are the places where experts in a field, they speak regarding their expertise in a field, and then we put it out there on the internet in video form for us to watch. They did not have that 2,000 years ago. They didn't have the internet, but they did have locations where the TED Talk speakers would go, and they would speak their wisdom to all of the ears that would be able and willing to gather and listen. And Paul, when he gets to Athens, he goes to the TED Talk center, and he grabs the microphone, and he begins speaking wisdom. He speaks about who God is and what God is doing in the world and what he wants to do in the world, what he has done, and he speaks about the human condition. He speaks wisdom in that place where people would contend for the truth and contend for ideas. And Paul does that because the wisdom that God has given him doesn't just want to stay in him. It wants to come out in words so that the foolish and broken world can hear that wisdom. And Paul, I mean, read Acts chapter 17 this week. Paul brilliantly starts as he's contending for ideas. He begins by building a bond with the people that are listening to him. And he says, hey, this thing that you worship, Paul says, I was just there. You have an altar and a temple to a God that you don't know who that God is. Paul says, let me tell you who that is. He starts with an agreement that they have. Paul says, I agree with you. There is a God who you don't know who he is. And Paul says, I have come now to tell you about him. So he builds a bridge with where they are, but he then contends against the false and the foolish that they're believing, and he speaks the truth in love. He grapples verbally with them to make the wisdom of God known plain to people, because wisdom doesn't just want to be in a person, it wants to be spoken through a person. Wisdom is seeking and longing to call out into the world from those and through those that have it. Now, last night, I was just in the grocery store with my daughter. We were on an ice cream run. Don't judge me. Trying to be healthy, but ice cream from time to time is okay, right? So we go to the store, we grab our ice cream, we're going to the checkout, and as you know, at the checkout, there's all manner of publications, like TED Talks in print form. And as I'm walking to the cash register, like getting just knowing this is what we're talking about this morning, I saw a picture of Taylor Swift. Any Swifties in the house? Okay, None. A little bit. Okay. So I think Taylor Swift is I don't know her. This is not to judge her. I'm just telling you, here's what I saw. There's a picture of Taylor Swift and she's all done up and she's got this smile on her face. And the invitation on the cover of this magazine was to read about the excitement and exuberance that she is finding in her engaged life, because she's now engaged to a football player, and I think our culture is fascinated with that, right? And so regarding Taylor Swift, there she is, and the Taylor Swift story is calling out, read about me, check me out, I'm engaged now, and hear my story. Now here, I don't know much about Taylor Swift, but what I do know is that she's got what we'll call a checkered dating history. I think many of her songs are about heartbreak, and it's because she's been through multiple heartbreaks, right? But now she's figured it all out, right, apparently. And so here's what I know. Our culture knows what we want, and our culture will give us what we want, because we're not going to spend money on things that we don't want. So all the people that know what's happening and what's a buzz in the culture, they put that magazine about Taylor Swift right in the place where people can get it, because that's what we want, and then we will separate our money from ourselves, and then we'll take that magazine and we'll read about Taylor Swift. Now, here's the deal. Here's what I did not see at any of the checkout counters. I did not see the picture of an 85-year-old woman. And I did not see an article entitled, The Six Ways That This Woman Stayed Married to Her Man Through Six Decades of Marriage. There's no article in there where she gets to spell out with wisdom how her and her husband were moving this way and there was some problem and some difficulty, but then the Spirit of the Lord met them in that place and moved them in this direction, and they had a breakthrough and they learned this lesson about God and themselves, and they just catapulted on into this next beautiful season, and that happened to them six times, and how that would be wisdom calling. Saying, listen to me. If you want a good marriage, then listen to this 85-year-old woman who's been there and done that, who's received from the Lord and wrought out and fashioned a good marriage, right? The world knows that nobody wants to hear that, which is why we don't see that at the checkout counter. But what we do see is Taylor Swift all done up with a plastic smile. And we've all done the plastic smile. There's no judgment there. But you can see it, right? Foolishness is equally calling out in the world to grab our attention, and we, if we're not careful, are prone to lean and steer into what the world is offering us, and then hypothetically our relationships may more start to mirror Taylor Swift's history rather than the wise woman who's been married for six decades and worked through some stuff with her husband. Foolishness is also calling out in the world. The book of Proverbs makes that clear, or put it in through this lens. Anybody know Beyonce and Rihanna? Those names ring a bell. They were in a band together called Destiny's Child, and they put out a song regarding, the topic was independent women. And it goes like this: all the women who are independent. Don't pretend like you don't know the song. It's like, oh, I've never heard that song before. I don't know what he's talking about. You do, because you know the song. All the women who are independent, throw your hands up at me. That's the song, right? And so now if you're a young woman, that's a catchy song. And if you find yourself in a place where Destiny's Child, Beyonce and Rihanna are singing this, you're looking around and you're like, oh, all the ladies are throwing their hands up at me. I must be in a place of independent women. Being an independent woman must be a really cool thing, because the song's cool and all these cool ladies are throwing their hands up at me like they're independent women. And then you think, all the women independent. And then your hands start, they're throwing their hands up too, because apparently this is the thing that I'm supposed to be, an independent woman, right? The world is calling us into all manner of things in very clever and attractive ways, artistically. But here's what I see Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is not an independent woman. Lady Wisdom has got dependents all around her who really need her. She's got children who later on in the book of Proverbs, Lady Wisdom will have children who are dependent, who will sing her praises because the wise woman is giving and blessing and serving and coming alongside and offering out of her committed relationship to them all manner of good things, right? So Lady Wisdom has dependents all around. And in Proverbs 31, Lady Wisdom has a husband who is sitting at the city gates, the place of influence culturally. And the idea is that like one of the main reasons why brother's there is because he has walked in a dependent relationship with Lady Wisdom for a long time. He has benefited from that. And the society and the culture around him says, wow, you are a wise individual. I see your family. I see your life. Wow, come and influence among us because we want wisdom in our town. This husband is dependent on Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom would say, all the ladies who have dependents, throw your hands up at me, right? Maybe we're throwing our hands up at the wrong thing. But here's the idea. In the world that we live in, you do not have to be a wise person, nor do you have to have demonstrated wise outcomes in your life to get a voice in the world. All you have to have is a communication gift. It could be verbally, it could be artistically, any manner of things. You just have to be a gifted communicator, and you just have to have some charisma. And then once you get those two things, then the world will do what it does. It will get the marketing machine moving around you and for you, and it will get you out there on the publications at the grocery store checkout and on the radio stations and on the places where videos are accessed. But Lady Wisdom doesn't necessarily have the marketing machine around her, but she is calling. The question is, are we listening to wisdom or are we listening to foolish? So wisdom wants to inhabit a person and wants that person to become a wise person. Then wisdom wants to be spoken through that person into the world that needs to hear it. And then here's the third step in the wisdom journey of what wisdom longs to do. Wisdom wants to do lots of stuff. Was that too deep theologically for us? Do I need to like tone that down? Wisdom wants to do lots of stuff in the world. It wants to get its hands dirty doing things. All right, wisdom, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is personified as a woman who is living in a body in the world, because that's where wisdom belongs. And this woman who is the picture of wisdom in the flesh, this woman is doing so many things. Like I'm just gonna read. I just underlined in my Bible the verbs that come in Proverbs chapter 31. It's just, I don't know, like maybe 20 verses or so. I'm just going to list the verbs. Here's what Lady Wisdom is doing in the world. She does. She seeks. She works. She brings. She rises. She provides. She portions. She considers. She buys. She plants. She dresses. She makes. She perceives. She puts. She holds. She opens. She reaches. She clothes. She makes. She makes again. She delivers. She opens. She looks. Lady Wisdom isn't just being wise. She isn't just speaking wisdom. She is doing wisdom and acting it out and making real things happen in the real world according to her wisdom. Right? So I want to put it this way just to maybe help us see it in a different way. Wisdom that is just in a person, when a person becomes wise, we say awesome to that, thumbs up. When a person then who is wise begins speaking wisdom, we'll give that a thumbs up because Proverbs affirms that. But if that's as far as a person gets, let's just say that wisdom itself is frustrated in that person because we haven't reached the destination yet. The destination of wisdom is not just to be wise or just to speak wisdom. The destination is that that person would do wisdom in the real world, in real, tangible, tactile ways. Right? You ever been to the zoo? And you see like one of the incredible animals. And all animals are incredible. But there are some that we're more drawn to. Like the tigers and the giraffes and the hippos and the elephants. They're just like, they're like wow animals. Have you ever been to the zoo and you just see them all caged up? And it's cool to see them there. But you recognize that the animal isn't expressing all of itself in that caged environment. And you know, if you could just let that animal out, if you could just open the cage and let it go into the world, that tiger or giraffe or elephant or rhino or hippo, that it would be able to express its rhino-ness, its hippo-ness, its tiger-ness, and its giraffe-ness in so many more ways. And that animal would love to break out of the cage so that it could run wild and free in the world. That's where the animal wants to be, right? And the animal, I think, on some level will be frustrated until it gets out of the cage into the open and free places that God designed it to be. And wisdom is the same. It's like a caged animal, just in a person, just in words. It wants to erupt out wild and free into the real world and do real things. So, let's consider this pattern here through the lens of God himself. I just want us to see this same pattern of be wise, speak wise, and then do wise. I want us to see that God actually doesn't just invite us into this. This is what God himself, this is how he operates. Here's the pattern. Have wisdom, speak wisdom, and then flesh it out into the world. Step one, in the beginning was Genesis 1:1. Who's there in the beginning? God is. Question, is God wise? Is God a fool or is God wise? God hasn't learned wisdom. He didn't have to acquire it. He is it. So God's already at step one. In the beginning was God. God is wise. Then, as the Genesis account goes on, what does God begin doing? He begins speaking words. On day one, and God said. Day two, and God said. Day three, and God said. Day four, and God said. God said, God said, God said. In the Hebrew, it is Vayomar Elohim, and God said, again and again and again. So in Genesis 1, the God who is wise, then step two, speaks wisdom out every single day. And then what happened after God spoke his wisdom into the world? Well, the response is, and it was so. Day one, and it was so. Day two, and it was so. Day three, and it was so. Day four. Wisdom became real in the world through God who has wisdom, who spoke wisdom. He wrought it out in real and tangible ways. Plants are a display of the wisdom of God. Animals, minerals, and stars, tangible examples of the wisdom of God in the flesh, in the world. Air, soil, water, all tangible expressions of God's wisdom that have become real and tactile and tangible in the world. This is so because God honors his wisdom. He is it, and he speaks it. He doesn't just speak it. He actually, with his hands, just fleshes it out in real, tangible, visible, and felt ways. Consider how frustrating it would be regarding wisdom's desire. What if I could make this happen for each and every one of us? What if I could take like the top 50 chefs in the world and I could like secure them and bring them here for the next year? And I could offer to each and every one of us a chef of world-class epic proportions could live in your house for the next 365 days. If I made you that offer, I'm sure many of us would take that offer. Here's what I would do. If I needed to, I would move Megan and I from our bedroom down into the dungeon of our basement. We would live there for a year so that the world-class chef could move in and live life with the Kunkler family. because I want that in my house. And imagine the world-class chef moves in who knows like all there is to know about making delicious food. And then this person who knows so much is able to instruct and to speak words of wisdom regarding how to put different foods together and cook them and cut them and dice them to make them awesome, right? And then imagine that this person moves in. But imagine if they never made any food in your house. And then at about month 6, the chef hasn't made a darn thing. They are a great chef. They'll occasionally speak words of great chefing. They'll even describe to you what a roux is. It's a cooking thing. I don't know what it is, but they do. They could talk about it, and sometimes they do. But how frustrating it would be if they never made anything for you or your family in your house while they're living with you. Like you're sitting down to your cream chicken and your undercooked rice, and then the chef walks through and you're like, darn it! There's something like, there's frustration there. Why? Because you want that person to actually make some things in the world that we can enjoy, because that's the ultimate destination of a good cook. Let's make some stuff that can be enjoyed in the real world. God's inbreaking kingdom in the world. It's what he's passionate about. He wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as in heaven. He wants his kingdom that is epically real in the heavenly realms right now. He wants that to be demonstrated in this foolish and broken world. He wants his kingdom to become real and tactile and tangible and concrete, which means that we're not just supposed to be wise. We're not just supposed to speak wisdom. It means that we're supposed to employ it to create and to make and to forge and to fashion and all the other verbs of Proverbs chapter 31. He wants us to bring wisdom into existence in real ways. But instead of that, what we often do is we do lesser things with our lives, with our words, with our hands. Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, hey, you are children of God. You are in the wise one's family. And because we are, let there be no foolish talk or coarse joking come out of your mouth, because that is not fitting regarding the family of wisdom. Instead of speaking wisdom, it's just a lot easier to speculate about people and gossip, because that comes easy. And I just saw it at the grocery checkout line, and let's talk about that with our words. And wisdom is frustrated. I was talking with a friend this week who is on an incredible spiritual journey. So fun to watch. And we met for lunch this week, and he talked about growing up. He would go to church with his grandparents. And he said he would sit in a row, and then his grandma and her friends would sit behind. And he said, there were a couple times where, the service is happening, and my friend, leaned over to go grab a Bible from down in the pew, and his grandma would say, stop that, get back, stop moving. Just shut him down, right? He's trying to get a Bible, but he's not allowed to do that in church. And he said, but as he would sit there every single week, all he would hear his grandma and her friends talking about is so-and-so and so-and-so, and this person's this. And did you see what they were when I can't believe they wore that here. That's not a great foundation for a spiritual journey. He's on one now, but it was a rough beginning for him. He was around people who were giving the impression they were gathering in the place of wisdom to receive it so that they could speak it and live it. But just what came so easily out of them was critical, gossip, speculation, all the fun and frivolous things that can come out of our mouths. Instead of letting our mouths be instruments through which wisdom is spoken, we let it become insignificant, trivial sound boxes for foolishness. And in addition to that, not only is it easy to let our mouths drift out of wisdom into something far less, then with our lives and with our hands, we give our attention to real and tangible things in the world, but they're frivolous and insignificant in terms of what God is seeking to lead us and the world into. We engage in all manner of lesser things when wisdom is calling. But that is not our destiny here at Garden City. We're the ones who seek to be wise and to speak wise and then to do wisdom. It was just a couple of weeks ago, just to brag on you guys, we spoke about financial wisdom because financial wisdom is calling and inviting each of us to be financially wise. And we talked about it here. And then from that time that we talked about it here, I've had a handful of meetings with people who don't just want to talk about it, they want to demonstrate it in the real concrete world with their real and concrete finances. And we've had some awesome times regarding putting plans together that these individuals are now beginning to walk in. And now where they just saw a cloudy and confused future regarding finances, now we've got a clear path and there's some excitement there because they know where they're going. And now they know how their decisions can actually fuel them to get to the good place faster. This is a place that wants to take wisdom and actually rot it out in our lives. And then a couple of weeks before that, we talked about how God wants us to walk in healthy bodies. He wants us to be healthy. And we talked about what it means to be a healthy individual. And then we had a couple people in our church that said, hey, we've got a gym and we want to open it up because anybody that's interested in actually doing this, we want to create space for that to happen. And that just happened yesterday, the first of 4 weeks. Generation Strong. People got their hands on real weights and really started to learn how to lift them so that they can really see their muscles and their bodies actually move to the place of health, not just trying to talk about it or hear about it, but actually seeking to do it. This is the place where we want to see wisdom incarnated in our lives and in the world through our hands, which is what happens in Proverbs chapter 31. And then here's the final point, the final destination on the wisdom journey. Brian, if you could bring that up. God wants us to get wisdom and to be wise. He wants us to speak it, and then he wants us to do it. But once we do wise things, then there are lessons and there are things that we can learn only in doing the thing. And once we do the thing, we'll all make mistakes along the way, for sure. But as we make mistakes, our brain and our heart kick in on different levels regarding that thing that we heard about that we're seeking to do. And then it's like, remember last week, it's like this positive feedback loop where we are in the virtuous cycle of growing wise. But we live in a day where there are so many people who are talking because they're good communicators and they're charismatic and they talk about a variety of subjects, but they've never done anything in that field. They're just gifted at getting their voice out there. When God, in his wisdom, is calling us to something far more than that. Worship team, come on back up. We're going to sing. I'm going to pray over us. And as in the series that we've been in, the question that we're asking is, God, what is it that you have for me in this season that I'm in? I want everything that you have for me. I don't want anything more than what you want for me. I don't want anything less than what you want for me. And so there's some manner of wisdom in this season, at this time in your life, that he's calling you into because he wants you to be it. And then ultimately, he wants you to act it out and to do it. So as we're singing, I'm just going to ask the Lord that he would be so gracious and kind as to be the wise one who speaks his very specific and timely wisdom over us, that he would give us ears to hear, and that we would be the ones who seek to be it, and then speak it, and then actually do it with his leading. And we'll sing, Father in heaven, thank you that you are not distant and removed. You have not just given us words of truth, but you are the truth, and you meet with us. You are here. You say, where two or three are gathered, there you are among us. And we know that even when we're by ourselves, Father, you inhabit us. You're just here in a more full, in a different way when we're gathered. But Father, I pray that you, the wise one, would speak your wisdom over each and every one of us, that you would give us ears that are attuned to you, to hear what you are saying to us, what you're inviting us into at this point in this season of our lives. Because what you have for us right now is good. And to that we say yes. And then we trust that you will lead us to actually make this wisdom tangible and expressed in real ways in our lives, in our relationships. And so we say thank you in advance for being so kind to be the good shepherd that you have told us that you are for us. We receive it and we say yes. In Jesus' name.